Welcome back. As you know, we are still dealing with these five sorrowful mysteries of the Most Holy Rosary. And after going through the agony, the scourging, the crowning with thorns, and carrying of his cross, we come to the crucifixion and death of our beloved Lord. And he began by speaking of Jesus in his forgiveness and his words to Mary, his mother, which he gives to us from the cross. But then we look to see the agony that Jesus suffered on the cross, how they abused him and ridiculed him and taunted him while he was hanging there. And he could have stopped it all. He could have come down from that cross, but it was not the will of the Father. And so he hangs there for 3 long hours in excruciating agony. He speaks to the thief, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise." The mercy of God, even during the height of his agony, giving consolation and peace and forgiveness to a condemned man. He thirsts for what? He thirsts for you. He thirsts for your soul. He thirsts that you may come to know and love him and know him, understand him, and bring him to the world. "It is finished." He says those words to the only person who needed to know, the most blessed Virgin Mary. He lets her know that it is over. And he looks up to his heavenly Father. "Into your hands I commend my spirit." And he dies. Now there is something about his death that so many people don't know. That it was not the nails in his hands and feet that killed him. It wasn't the scourging or the crowning of thorns that killed him. It wasn't the beating that he got. It wasn't the loss of blood that killed Jesus. Our beloved Lord died of a broken heart. You see, when one is in such sorrow at the death of someone, the loss of someone, their heart begins to beat in such a way that more blood goes into the heart than escapes. And so what happens is the heart becomes bigger and bigger as it beats. It gets bigger until it's almost the size of a soccer ball. And an electrical shock is sent from the brain to the heart, and it causes a spasm so violent that the heart literally explodes and it rips in two. And the explosion is so intense and so powerful that the blood separates from the water. And so when they pierce the side of Jesus, blood and water poured forth. Those things were just found out maybe 20 years ago, 30 years ago. We didn't know that a person, when they died of love, their heart would explode and there'd be water and blood. And yet the Spirit saw to it that those things that he saw would be written in Scripture so that you and I would know that love, that we would know that mercy, that we would know why and how Jesus really died, that it was for love of us that he died. And that's the great gift of the cross. And we would never know this. We would never know this but for the fulfillment of the prophecy of Simeon. "Woman, a sword shall pierce your heart so that the thoughts of men will be revealed." Jesus is pierced after he has died. So in reality, Jesus cannot bear that wound. It shouldn't be there because he didn't suffer it. We are saved by the blood of Christ, you know. We are saved by his wounds. We are healed by his blood. We are healed by his wounds. But a dead body can't suffer. If a dead body cannot suffer, a dead body cannot merit. Someone had to suffer it. That's why Jesus said it's finished. She had to know. She had to know that she was going to continue that passion. That she was going to be there to open that heart that had to die of love first. And by opening up the side, we see the water and the blood, and now we know. And he bears that wound in his risen body as a witness to every man, woman, and child throughout time until the end of time that Mary participated in our redemption in a real and effective way. It was she who opens the side of Jesus to that beautiful heart. It is she who makes it possible to see the blood and water and to know that kind of love that died for us. The passion, the death of our beloved Lord is the greatest act of love known to mankind. To reject Jesus for any other type of salvation is pure foolishness. There is no salvation outside of Christ. There is no religion outside of the one true faith that Christ reveals. No matter how much we would want to, through political correctness, tell everyone that they can get to heaven, they can't. We have to embrace the truth. If the truth is going to set us free, we must recognize it and we must embrace it. And there aren't 15 different truths. There's only one truth. Otherwise, it isn't true at all. So Christ has given us a choice. It's your choice. Either you embrace what He has given or you don't. But you better have a good reason, and I don't think there is one, to reject the love of God through Christ Jesus. There is no excuse for not loving Him. There is no reason to search anywhere else for any kind of hope, any kind of peace, any kind of security, any kind of forgiveness, any kind of love. But we have known the Father through Jesus. We have known our most loving and affectionate Father through His only begotten Son, through His death and His resurrection.